Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have you been enjoying the stream this weekend?
Amen.
Hallelujah for the divine stream.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's so good to be in the stream.
Amen.
And I also enjoyed not only being in the stream, we're workers in the heavenly team, but the last hymn we sang before that, I would give myself, Lord,
Amen.
Fully unto Thee.
Amen.
So we want to be in a stream that carries us along.
Amen.
That Thy heart's desire be fulfilled in me.
Amen.
I would cease completely
Amen.
From my efforts vain.
Amen.
Let Thy life transform me, full release to gain.
Amen.
Then it says, build me up with others,
Amen.
Till in us thou see
right.
thy complete expression. Praise the Lord, glorifying thee.
Amen.
So we've come to the last meeting of our conference on the divine stream, but it's not the last meeting, right? We're going to go down the mountain. Hopefully we'll be in many, many more meetings. And we trust, we pray that we will be in the divine stream
Amen.
All the days of our life.
Amen.
After this weekend, after we've seen the vision of the divine stream, we would give ourselves completely, fully. Lord, I would give myself to Thee, or fully unto Thee, to be in the divine stream.
Amen.
Wherever that stream takes me.
Amen.
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 And this morning we'll see what the destination of that divine stream is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So maybe just at the beginning, a little just review of these three wonderful messages. Message one, the divine stream to water man and supply God as life to man.
Amen.
And we saw this panorama of the divine stream in the Word of God.
Amen.
And we pray, we trust that that is a vision to us. Wow, there is such a thing in the Bible as the divine stream. And it's not just in one place, but it is flowing through the entire revelation of God's Word, the divine stream. So that's a vision. And we, with vision, we expect that vision controls us. Vision affects us. It affects the way that we live. In Proverbs, it says 28:19, or 19:28, without vision, the people cast off restraint, implying that vision controls us. So if we say this weekend, oh, I saw the vision of the divine stream, but it doesn't have much effect on our living, then we should really ask ourselves, how much did I really see this weekend? And we may say, well, Lord, I'd like to see. I'd like to see a vision of the divine stream.
Amen.
And then after the vision, we came to message two on drinking the flowing triune God as life. So now we go from vision to practice, drinking the triune God, the flowing triune God as life. And we saw all these wonderful life practices so helpful to us for our drinking of the divine stream. And these practices are individual and corporate.
Amen.
Right? So we're practicing to drink. We see the vision. Then we enter into the practice of drinking. Then in the third message, praise the Lord, we were the flow of life with the ministry of life. If you drink, you must flow. The drinking leads to the flow. If you're truly drinking, then you will inevitably flow out.
Amen.
Flow in and flow out. And this flow is the flow of the ministry of life. We want to be ministers of this divine flow. We first of all need to be in ourselves, drinking ourselves, and then we flow out this wonderful triune God to others.
Amen.
We also saw last night that this flow measures us. What a wonderful application of the flow. Measuring, measuring, measuring. Not just once for all. Oh, I was measured 5 years ago. I was measured when I was a freshman. Good enough. No, we will find out the measuring. The Lord is faithful to measure us, to deepen the flow. That's what He wants. We want the flow to deepen. He wants the flow to deepen and increase. So He needs to measure us. And even last night, I believe after the meeting, there was much measuring going on in the cabins, hopefully in your prayer time. I appreciated our brother's word, you know, our measuring our attitudes, our views, measuring our finances, measuring our relationships. Maybe you had decided, no, I'm not going to the so-called, quote-unquote, winter training, a six-day intensive Bible study. But then I get a text. Is it too late to sign up? Praise the Lord. Maybe a little measuring there. You need to go. The flow says go. The flow says go.
Amen.
So I respond. I'm measured and I go. That flow is possessing me and flowing me to the winter training.
Amen.
Or perhaps this flow is flowing me to the full-time training.
Amen.
Not just for 6 days.
Hallelujah.
Or 60 days.
Amen.
Closer to 600. Actually more, you know. But amen. We just are going with the flow. We're allowing the flow to carry us. And so then this morning we come to this final message. And let's just read the title together. The stream of God's work for the building of God. The stream of God's work for the building of God. Wonderful title. First of all, it shows us that God's work is a flow. When God flows, God is working. When God is flowing, God is working. When God is flowing into your being, He's working in you. He's working on you. He's working Himself into you. We'll see later. This is actually the central work of God, is to work Himself into our hearts. And how does He do that? He does that by flowing. Flowing Himself, little by little, day by day, into our, as we saw last night, our open heart. Right? The flow came out of the house, came under the threshold. There was an opening. There needs to be an opening, right? The bottle needs to be open to receive the flow in. So this is God's central work. We'll see more about this also.
Amen.
For the building of God, the stream of God's work for the building of God. Actually, it's impossible to separate the stream, the flow, from the building. Because the goal, the destination of the stream and the flow is the building of God.
Amen.
I hope this morning this will become also a clear, controlling vision to us for the rest of our life. If you say you're in the stream, there's only one destination of that flow. And that destination is the building of God. And we'll see more what does that actually mean. But at the beginning, I feel like it will be good just to touch this matter of the building of God. Just as we saw that the building of God, the flow, the divine stream is throughout the Bible, so is this matter of the building of God. Maybe some of you have never heard this term. Maybe some of you have never really considered what does this mean, the building of God. But we will see that next to God Himself, perhaps the most important matter in the whole Bible is the building of God. Amazing. So, just to touch some matters related to the building of God. We have some verses at the top of our verse sheet. Genesis 2, 10 through 12. And if you have it in your Bibles, you can turn to it. And we'll go pretty quickly through this survey of the building of God. But Genesis 2, 10 through 12 says, "And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that goes around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there." Now you might say, well, what has that got to do with the building of God? We will see that the building of God, what the building of God, God builds with Himself as gold, silver, and precious stones. As gold, delium, a pearl-like substance, and precious stones. This is what the building of God is made up of. It is made up of God Himself, typified by gold, delium, and precious stones. Almost immediately after these verses, which is the flow, we see the flow produces these precious materials. In Genesis 2:22, it says that God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man Adam, who is a type of Christ. Then it says He took a rib from Adam's open side. And then it says He closed up the area, and then it says out of that rib He built a woman. Some translations say, you know, fashioned, formed. But the literal Hebrew is built. He built. There's the building. There's the flow in Genesis 2, 10 through 12 with the precious materials. And then right away in verse 22 and 23, the building. He built a woman. And this typifies Christ on the cross, and out of His side flowed blood and water. The blood is for redemption. But the flow of the water is for the building of God. When we drink the flow out of Christ's pierced side, that is producing precious material in us for the building of God. Amen. Okay, so we see the building right away at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis, and this is just a survey, it is not complete, but in Genesis 28 we see Jacob leaving his family, wandering in the wilderness, and one night he sleeps in a place, and he has a stone for a pillow, and he has a dream, and he sees a ladder set up on the earth with angels ascending and descending, and he realizes this place is none other than the house of God. Amen. The house of God. The vision, the first vision that Jacob sees is the house of God. When we get to the book of Exodus, the children of Israel are rescued by the Lord and Moses, through Moses, out of Egypt, taken out of the tide of the world. They're baptized in the Red Sea to separate them from the tide of that age. And that's why today we're offering the opportunity for people to be baptized, to be separated from the tide of this age, to be separated unto the Lord for His eternal purpose. Well, what is that purpose? Well, eventually the Lord brings His people to a holy mountain, and then He shows them, gives them the Ten Commandments, and then shows them the pattern of the tabernacle. So from Exodus 25 to 40, the end of the book, is all about the building. The building of the tabernacle. And the Lord says to Moses, "And let them make a sanctuary for Me, that I may dwell in their midst. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, even so shall you make it." So the whole direction of the book of Exodus is toward the building of God. And in the last chapter, when the tabernacle is built and erected, it says, the glory of Jehovah descended and filled the tabernacle. Finally, God had a place among men to dwell, His building. Okay, so that's Exodus. And then we, just a couple of verses in Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams gladden the city of God. There's the river and there's the city. Psalm 36, 8. They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures. So there's the house and there's the river. Then we get to, and we covered this a little bit last night, the book of Ezekiel. And there is a marvelous picture in Ezekiel 47 of the built house with the river flowing out from under the threshold to the east toward the glory of God, past the altar, and then down the south side, the right side, the preeminence. So again, we have the building and we have the flow. Amen. And then we come to the New Testament. So that's just a little view of the building in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, dwelt among us. So right away we realize the Lord Jesus was the incarnated dwelling place of God in the New Testament. In John chapter 2, when they're surveying the physical temple, Herod's temple, 46 years in the building, they said, what sign will you show us? He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And they were like, what are you talking about? But he was talking of the temple of his body. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see this matter. Then we get to the book of Acts and we see a group of people, 120 in the upper room. They've drunk of the Lord Jesus. They're meeting together. They're praying for 10 days in one accord. And then the Holy Spirit descends and baptizes them into the body of Christ and initiates the church in Jerusalem, the building of God on the earth among men, dwelling in oneness. And that's Acts. And then in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles through the house of Cornelius are also baptized into the body. And then you go through the New Testament, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians. Paul mentions the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, which is a synonym for the building of God. And then finally, book of Revelation, chapters 1 and 2, 1 and 2 and 3, the seven churches, and then eventually the ultimate building, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 and 22. The holy city coming down out of God. God's tabernacle among men. The temple of God for God's people is the New Jerusalem, the holy city. So you see again, not only is the matter of the divine stream throughout the whole Bible, the matter of the divine building is in the whole Bible, and actually the whole Bible ends with the building of God and the divine stream, the river of water of life proceeding out of the building of God. Amen. So we cannot, at the beginning you have in Genesis 2, the river and the building, and Revelation 22, you have the river and the building. They go together. Amen. So this is a very, I would say, particular message this morning regarding the divine stream for the building of God. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. So let us just look now at the first Roman numeral together. Okay, let's read that together. Amen. Divine stream, which has been flowing throughout the ages, is the unique stream of God's work. Where the divine stream flows, there is the work of God. Where the divine stream flows, there is the work of God. Amen. I hope we're really impressed with this. This is what God needs on our campuses. The divine stream. young students, young brothers and sisters, enjoying the divine stream, drinking, personally drinking, corporately drinking, coming together to drink, drinking buddies, companions, praying to enjoy the stream and praying that others would also be brought into this divine stream. So that God could flow all over our campuses. This is what He wants to do. The work of God. Amen. A. Brothers could read A.
God's unique work throughout all the ages and generations is to work Himself in Christ into His chosen people, making Himself one with them.
Amen. God's unique work throughout all the ages and generations is to work Himself in Christ into His chosen people, making Himself one with them. And the verses, Galatians 4:19, my children with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you.
Amen.
And then we're very familiar, I think, with the next reference, Ephesians 3:16 and 17. I'll just read 17a, that Christ may make His home in your hearts.
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
This is His central work. We may think, oh, preaching the gospel is God's central work. And I've had many, many, many appointments with young Christians on my campus. Some that meet with the church that I meet with, but many, many that don't. And many think, oh, if we just need to preach the gospel. If everybody on our campus got saved, wow, God would be so happy. He would be so satisfied. And God would be very happy and very satisfied if everyone on our campuses were saved. But is that all that He wants? Is that all that He needs? Actually, what He needs is open vessels that He can make His home in our hearts. Actually, preaching the gospel is just to gain the material. To gain the vessels. But then the triune God has to flow in and flow in and flow in. Producing gold, silver, precious stones within the beings of the saved ones. To build up His eternal dwelling place. So we do need to preach the gospel. We should preach the gospel. But that's, in a sense, that's just the beginning. So even if by some miraculous move of the Spirit, everybody on earth this morning was saved, we might think, oh, that will bring the Lord back. Actually, no. The Lord needs to make home in their hearts. These ones all need to be built up into a dwelling place of God in spirit, expressed locally in churches where brothers and sisters are gathering together in oneness. That will bring the Lord back. The prepared bride and the built up body is what will bring the Lord back. And I think, I hope, my aspiration for my whole life is, Lord, I want to see You come back.
Amen.
Well, He might say then, well, then you need to be a part of My work. Not your work, your thought, My work. And My work is first and foremost to make My home in your heart. And then make home in all the ones that you are related to and built up with. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's God's unique work. And then B says, sisters, could read B. Hallelujah. Amen. So this stream that actually is in the whole Bible, it's practical outworking. This stream was, in a sense, very much outside of man in the Old Testament, although man enjoyed this divine stream, even in the Old Testament. But this divine stream eventually was incarnated in the person of Christ. We saw that. We've seen this in the last number of messages. That stream flowed into a man, the man they call Christ Jesus, right? Hymn 11:98. A mighty flowing out is God. So that stream reached man by coming into a particular man, the man Christ Jesus. Then that man was flowed through human living, crucifixion, and resurrection, so that divine stream could be released to flow into many other men and women. And so we see the beginning of Acts is the beginning, the initiation of the flow of that stream in a group of saved believers. They came together in oneness, in one accord, in the upper room in Jerusalem, and they prayed for 10 days. And then the Lord just poured out His Spirit upon them. They already had the Spirit within them. They were already enjoying and drinking of the Spirit. But then the Spirit flowed down, flowed over them, anointing them, empowering them, giving them the authority to go out and spread, speak, and flow out this stream. And thus, so they have Peter standing with 11, preaching the gospel. On the first day, I think it was 3,000 were added to the church. How powerful is this stream? 3,000 added to the church in one day because there was a group of built up believers enjoying the flow, enjoying the oneness, and enjoying the Lord's commanded blessing on their drinking and on their oneness to flow out, to reach so many others.
Amen.
Amen. And so the book of Acts has 28 chapters. But if you read the last chapter in the last verse, it just says more or less that Paul was in his rented dwelling place in Rome, teaching people about the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel unhindered. That's how it ends, apparently. But that's not the end. That's just the first 28 chapters. How many chapters, how many heavenly chapters have been written since that time? Hundreds, thousands of chapters as this stream has flowed throughout the ages. I don't have time to draw a map this morning, but if you follow this flow in the book of Acts, it starts in Jerusalem. It spreads to Antioch. It moves westward into Asia Minor. It's touching places and people. Eventually, that flow flows across to Macedonia, to modern day Greece, and the church in Philippi is raised up. And then over the centuries, just spreading. I did a little kind of map survey of the spread of Christianity in the first 6 centuries. And you just see the spread. And then you see pockets of Christianity all over northern Europe and northern Africa by the 4th century. But by the 6th century, all those little pockets, it's like it's all been filled in. The spring, it springs up here, it springs up there, it moves here, it moves there, and then it spreads, it spreads. Well, surely we want to have the same experience on our campuses.
Amen.
Right? If there is a group of students who are coming together to drink together, to pray together, to labor together, to cooperate with the work of the divine stream. Maybe not to do so much, but to come together to drink, to enjoy, and to pray for the release of the divine stream on their campuses. You know, I think again, we are very blessed if there are, as Brother Tony pointed out last, full-timers on our campus. But the full-timers are not a substitute for the students. Really, our heart is to stand with you, to support you, to encourage you, to infuse you, to feed you, to counsel you, to shepherd you, so that you could join us in the labor on the campus. And actually, you're the students, it's your campus. So, praise the Lord for the campuses where there's a student coordination, where the students are coordinating with one another, and they're coordinating with the full-timers, and they are coordinating with the triune God.
Amen.
To write another chapter of the book of Acts on their campus. That's the challenge. That's the vision. Lord, we want to be in the stream of God's work for the building of God.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the Lord's way. If we give ourselves to take this way, the Lord will bless, The Lord will work and the Lord will build.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let's read Romans 2 together.
Amen.
The issue of the divine stream, the flow of the divine life,
is precious materials for the building of God's house. I've already read Genesis 2:10 through 12. You have the river, you have the gold, signifying the divine nature of the Father. In 2 Peter it says we are partakers of the divine nature. So as we are drinking every day you take a little drink more of the divine nature. More gold is added to your being. In our natural man, we'll see, you could say, we're wood, grass, and stubble. Wood, grass, and stubble. Natural materials. But God's building is not built with wood, grass, and stubble. It's built with gold, the divine nature. The delium, a pearl-like substance. In 1 Corinthians, it's silver because silver is for redemption. But the delium and the pearl in the New Jerusalem signifies the produce of the crucified and resurrected Christ, secreting His divine life over us, transforming us. And then the precious stones signify the transforming, the produce of the transforming work of the Spirit. We were natural. We were so natural. Even our gospel preaching, our labor for the Lord on the campus or wherever we are was so natural. But little by little, the Spirit is transforming us into precious stones for God's building. So the issue of the divine stream is precious materials for the building of God's house. Okay, brothers, A.
From the picture in Genesis 2, we see that out of the flowing of the stream come the gold, the pearls, and the precious stones, which are the precious materials for the building of God's dwelling place.
Sisters, on B.
The flowing of the divine life in man brings the divine nature into man, regenerates man, and transforms man into precious materials for God's building.
Amen. See, all these precious materials are the products of our participation in and enjoyment of Christ in our spirit through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we may have the question, well, Lord, how do I build? I build by drinking.
Amen.
I build by participating. I build by enjoying. I think a lot of the very helpful points in message 2. Practice speaking with the Lord constantly. Speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock in Numbers, what happens? It flows out living water that you can drink. And in that water is gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold, pearl, delium, and precious stones. Confessing, praising, thanking, calling. So how about we all call right now and get a little bit more gold? Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Amen. Calling, singing. Praise the Lord for singing.
Amen.
Every morning I have the opportunity as I'm driving both my children to school. What a happy day. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for my spirit. Thank you, I can pray. Good morning, Lord Jesus. To you I love to sing. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Apparently a children's song. The last two mornings, I don't have children to drive to school. I'm walking outside with the Lord. Good morning, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for today.
Amen.
Even though I have to speak. Thank you for today.
Amen.
Even though I've got a quiz. Thank you for today.
Right.
Even though I have this situation, that situation. Thank you. Praise you. Lord, work yourself more into me. Use all of these circumstances to work yourself, flow yourself into my inner being, and even flow out of me to other people. I really appreciated the time, the fellowship yesterday afternoon on the redeeming of our time, seizing the opportunities. Brother Daniel's fellowship about, you know, using the red light to gain the Lord. Again, I get to drive my kids to school. I've already had to tell Aiden, that's my son, sometimes your daddy's a little impatient. It's not good to be impatient on the road. So I got a little help. This red light is an opportunity for me to drink.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so, amen. Precious materials through our participation in and enjoyment of Christ in our spirit. Okay, could we read D?
We with our natural man can never produce the proper material for the building of the church. Only the flowing of the divine life, the current of the Holy Spirit can do this.
Amen. Well, there's some verse references there. 1 Corinthians 3, 12, and then 16 and 17. I'd like to read them to you. Very, very clear verses. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, Paul tells us, is Christ. There's no other foundation we can lay. Christ is the foundation. But after the foundation is laid in our being, in someone else's being, there's the need to build. You see, gospel preaching, saving sinners, saving people, is just the foundation work for the building of God. It's not the goal. It's not the end. It's not enough to just preach the gospel and get someone saved. We rejoice. The heavens rejoice. The angels rejoice when someone is saved. But we need to go on from initial salvation to be built up into the house of God. So Paul says, if anyone builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, stubble. So you can build. But how do you build? Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The temple of God, there's the building again. If anyone destroys the building, and for that word, it can also mean ruin, corrupt, defile, or mar. If anyone ruins, corrupts, defiles, or mars the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and such are you. So, when we're building, we really need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, grass, and stubble. And you might say, well, what does that look like? I'm sure you can ask many of your serving ones on the campuses what that means, but in a simple way, let's say you meet someone. You're shepherding someone, a friend on campus, someone who's newly saved. They're going through a crisis. They're going through a situation. Well, we can help them turn to the Lord. We can help them pray. Lord, I'm passing through this experience. It's so hard. It's so difficult. But thank you. You're the flowing triune God. Thank you. You're the river of water of life in my being. Thank you. You're flowing life can swallow up all the problems, deal with all the problems. So this is one way that we can help someone, by bringing them to the Father, to the Son, helping them exercise their spirit. Or we can say, oh, well, you know what? I took a course in psychology, you know, at the community college, and, you know, this is a certain situation, and here's the phases you'll go through, and, you know, that happened to me once, and let me just put my arm around you and buy you a coffee, and there, I'll listen to you. I won't mention the Lord. Well, maybe that's building with wood, grass, and stubble. You do help them. You help them get through their crisis. But no gold, no silver, no precious stones, but wood, grass, and stubble. So, and this is a learning. We all have to learn this. But just again, we're putting this as a seed into your being. This is the goal. Gold, silver, precious stones, the building of God. Praise the Lord. So this is how we want to build. And I'll repeat the point. We with our natural man, even our natural good man, our natural kind man, our natural sympathetic man, our natural understanding man, can never produce the proper material for the building of the church. Now, the other side is, we don't just say to people, oh, brother, you need to just turn to your spirit. You just need to exercise your spirit, brother. Let's call on the Lord here now. Right? I mean, you know, we do have to care for a person's humanity. But any kind of cherishing that we do is with the goal of helping them open their mouth and call on the Lord. With the goal of helping them to turn their heart. Lord, I can't make it. I can't take it. I can't do it. I can't be it. But Lord, thank you. You're flowing in me. Thank you for the riches of your life that are in this flowing stream. Lord, I open to you. Flow more into my being. Praise the Lord. Okay, so three. Let's read three together.
We must realize that the flow of the divine water always comes out of the building of God. The more there is the building, the more the flow of God will issue forth.
We must realize that the flow of the divine water always comes out of the building of God. The more there is the building, the more the flow will issue forth. I don't know if anyone noticed, but the last point on all of the outlines ends with the building of God. Under 2E on message 1, by drinking the living water, we become the new Jerusalem, the totality of the eternal life, the destination of the flowing triune God, the building. We become the building. Romans 3 on message 2. God's intention is to be the fountain of living water to satisfy His chosen people with the goal of producing the body of Christ. And then it ends with, and builds us up as the body, more building. Message 3, E2E. For the sake of the organic building of God. So, and then this point we're coming to in this, we must realize that the flow of the divine water, first of all, it issues in the building, and then it causes the flow to come out of the building. So, when we initially drink, something of the triune God is built into us. This flow, and we'll see as we develop this point, this flow leads us to the building of God. And then we are built up in that building, and out from that built up building flows. The river flows on, the river flows through, flows out of the building of God. Praise the Lord. We saw from the other message, Ezekiel 47:1. So let's read A. The Lord Jesus, as the fountain, the source of living water, is in the church, the house of God, because Christ, as the fountain, is in the house. The water now flows within and out of the house of God. Amen. So this flow was in the person of Christ. And then this person came into us and brought us into the flow. And as we see, this flow flows us into the building. And then it's out from the building that the flow continues. A mighty flowing out as God. But where is He flowing to and from? He's flowing to the building and He's flowing from the building. So let's read B together. Maybe we could do it this way. The brothers could stand up and read B. And then the sisters could stand up and read B. Okay? Let's read this together. We have to pay
our full attention to the house of God and stay in the house. If we are willing to be built up as a house of the Lord, we will have the Lord within us as the source of the living water.
Amen.
We have our
Amen. Well, I really feel like this is the burden the Lord is giving me in this message. We have to pay our full attention to the house of God and stay in the house. If we are willing, this requires our cooperation. It requires our consecration. If we are willing to be built up as the house of the Lord, we will have the Lord within us as the source of the living water. Our full attention. I'd like to read some verses to you. They're from Ezekiel. And I'll just read them to you. This is Ezekiel 40, verse 4. And the man said to me, and this is the man of bronze signifying Christ, said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and set your heart on all that I show you, because for this purpose you have been brought here, that it may be shown to you. Tell all that you see to the house of Israel. So this is the Lord's word to the priest, the prophet Ezekiel. Set your heart. And what you see and what you hear, tell it to the house of Israel. Ezekiel 43 verse 7a says, and he said to me, Son of man. Now listen to this. This is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Wow. The place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell with the children, my children, forever. Okay. Then verse in the same chapter 43, verses 10 through 12. You, O son of man, describe the house to the house of Israel, that you may feel humiliated because they may feel humiliated because of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if you feel humiliated because of all that you have done, make known to them the design of the house, the arrangements, its exits, its entrances, its whole design, and its statutes. Indeed, the whole design and all its laws, and write them down in their sight, that they may keep its whole design and all its statutes and do them. So what the Lord is telling Ezekiel, show them the house. Show them the full design. Show them the entrances. Show them the exits. Show them how it's built. Show them this vision. This is what's on my heart. This is what I want. This is the desire of my heart. Show the children of Israel. Tell them that. And that they may keep it. This is the law of the house. And then finally, Ezekiel ends this way. This is the last verse of Ezekiel. The name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. Jehovah is there. And then there's just another verse I'd like to share, which is from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says Jehovah, heaven is my throne, and the earth is the footstool for my feet. Where then is the house that you will build for me? Our mighty God, the earth, the heavens are his throne, the earth is his footstool, but then he says, but where's the house? Where's the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? And then verse 2b says, but to this kind of man will I look, to him who is poor and of contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. So we see in God's heart, he has an eternal purpose and desire. His eternal purpose and desire is that he would make his home in our heart, that he could build himself into us individually and corporately, that we could be the house as his dwelling place and his rest for eternity.
Amen.
If that is God's goal, then that is my goal.
Amen.
If that's what God wants, then that's what I want.
Amen.
So I'm going to just share a little bit of my testimony here related to this. I grew up in Ireland. I grew up in a religion that proclaims that it's universal, that it's the one true church. It's a religion. But at a certain point, I was invited to a Christian meeting. A genuine, regenerated, born-again Christian meeting. And I had been raised in this kind of religious background. I thought I knew everything. Oh, I'm in the one true church, la, la, la. And I came to this meeting, and I saw shining people. That's all I can say. I don't remember what was spoken. I don't remember the message. I don't remember what the pastor said. All I can remember is I'm looking around this room at people singing, and they're shining. They're just shining. So I had to find out. Even inwardly, as I left the meeting, I was like, Lord, in all my years of going to Mass, I've never seen anything like that. I've been on retreats. I've been in Easter vigils. I've been here. I've been there. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I need to know. Eventually, I found out that was the triune God shining out of regenerated, saved believers.
Amen.
And so little by little, I'm giving you the quick tour, but little by little, I realized, no, I need to be with these people. There was some measuring. My culture was measured. My tradition was measured. My comfort zone, my convenience were all measured by what I saw. And I realized I have to follow this. I have to give myself to this. So I began to meet with a Christian denomination, church, Pentecostal background, very, very prevailing. Work, a lot of outward work, a lot of contacting people in the community, music, band, families, couples, lives being changed, excellent pastor, wonderful ministry, etc., etc. At the same time, there was a sister in my class, my medical school class, and she came from Malaysia. I would say, move there by the divine stream. Shortly before she came to Ireland, she'd never even heard of Ireland, to my shock and surprise. But she came. And she had grown up in the church in Kuching, a local expression of the universal body of Christ. And the flow sent her to Dublin, Ireland. And she was a very faithful sister. She just started a kind of a little home gathering in her own home. She had her flesh sister with her. And very shortly after that, her family sent her two naughty brothers to be there. And so she's trying to take care of her family, aged 18. She's taking medical school classes. And she's doing her best to be in the things of the church, although there's not really a church where in Dublin where she is. And the consequence of her busyness and her care for her family was that she failed her first year medical exams. But that meant that she came in, the requirement was you have to retake the whole year. You can't just retake the exams and pass to the next year. You have to retake the whole year. So she came into my class. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so by the time we kind of our paths met, I'm a saved believer. I've made this transition out of the religion that I grew up in to this denominational group, this Christian group. And so faithfully she said, would you and others like to come to my home? I'll cook a meal. We'll read the Bible together. And we just began to read the first book after the Bible that I read with this small group of believers was a book called The All-Inclusive Christ. Wonderful book. Wonderful book. But little by little, I began to realize, looking at the Bible, that there, the building of God had a particular expression. Right? Ezekiel says, measure the pattern. Moses, the Lord says to Moses, build according to the pattern that I show you. And so I began to study the Bible more diligently because I'm with these Christians. And little by little I realized that the universal church, the Lord says, I will build my church, has an expression, a practical expression. And according to the New Testament, that expression is that all the believers in a city need to come together as the church in that city. And if you look, and we don't have time this morning, but if you ask anybody, if you check yourself, you will see that once the flow began to flow out from Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, everywhere that flow went, there was a particular expression of that flow. There was a practical, physical, outward expression of this divine flow. And the Bible calls it the church in Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, the church in Rome, the church in Corinth. These are now New Testament books, right? The churches in Galatia, because Galatia is a region, but the churches are named in the book of Acts. Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. The church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Colossae. You come to the last book of the Bible, and the Lord says, here's a letter, and send it to the seven churches. And then it says, it names seven cities. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Seven churches, seven cities. So what's my point? My point is, we look at the building. There's this divine vision, wonderful vision of the building of God. God wants to, His throne is there, the soles of His feet are there. This is where His rest is. He wants His people built up. In Psalm 133 it says, wherever the brothers dwell together in oneness, there the Lord commands the blessing. In John 17, the Lord's final prayer before He was crucified, the night before His crucifixion, His final prayer to the Father concerning the believers that He was leaving on the earth to continue the divine flow was, Father, that they all may be one. Even as you and I are one. Amen. So the greatest testimony of the unity of the triune God, that God is one, is the oneness of the believers. That's the established pattern in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And, you know, this was not shared with me when I met with this sister and this small group of people like that. It was just fellowship. But inwardly, there was a speaking from the Lord. And I was measuring and comparing. Okay, this group that I've got saved into, they speak in tongues. They door knock. They have a pastor. They have elders. They have couples. They have families. They have this. They have that. But they also have a name. They take a name which separates them from other Christians. Or the other choice is you can meet in a living room of someone's bedsit with about 20 or 30 students. Actually, most of them were Asian. There was occasionally me and one other Caucasian, and this is in Ireland, which is 95%. Caucasian. So you can meet with these people from another country and they don't have a worship band. They don't have any couples. They don't speak in tongues. Although they would receive anybody who did speak in tongues, it's just not emphasized. It's not a point with them. But you can meet with them in a bedsit. And so I'm looking outward big building. The denomination, we bought a disused television studio. It got renovated, big meeting hall, or meet in a front room of someone's bedsit. But I couldn't get around. They call themselves the Church in Dublin. That's it, just the Church in Dublin. And anybody who wants to come can come. Regardless of their background, regardless of their beyond their basic Christian faith beliefs, they can just come and be one with the believers. Now, I had no idea at that time that that little gathering of people were connected with similar gatherings all over the earth. So even today, as we're sitting here in this room, as we speak, there are believers all over the earth who have chosen to come out of whatever background they've been in. That may be the world, it may be sin, it may be atheism, it may be paganism, it may be a Christian background, but they see the pattern of the building. One church, one city. Build according to the pattern, says the Lord to Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, there's a phrase, to the place Jehovah your God, chooses. Thank you. The place Jehovah your God chooses. It's said at least six times in Deuteronomy. When the children of Israel are separated into their different tribes and in the land, the Lord says, you need to come back to Jerusalem for the keeping of the oneness. You come to Jerusalem. You don't have a choice. You can enjoy the riches of the good land in your place, but three times a year, you need to come back to Jerusalem. The place Jehovah your God will choose. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. I will build. He's the builder, we're the co-builders. We cooperate by consecrating ourselves. Lord, I give myself to you for the building. And so, eventually I had to make a choice. And my choice was, I would say almost blindly, Lord, I can't argue with your word. I was measured by the word, and I was measured by the pattern revealed in the word. I really appreciate our brother's message last night about measuring. The building is not cheap. The building is costly. Gold, silver, and precious stones are costly materials. One brother calls the New Jerusalem a miraculous structure of treasure. It's costly. It costs. But it's worth it. And so I was measured by the word. I was measured by the vision, the pattern. And I went, Lord, okay. I mean, if I look outwardly, I should go here. But the stream within was saying, no, go there. Amen. And that changed my life. Literally changed my life. So I graduated from medical school. I stayed with that group. But they were connected with a really well built up church in London, the Church in London. And then there was an opportunity to go to this thing called the Winter Training. Winter 1989, Numbers Part 2. And so I flew from Dublin all the way to Los Angeles and to a place called Anaheim. And there was another place called the Church in Anaheim. And there's this place on Ball Road, and there's this massive meeting hall, and there's 3,000 people from all over the earth. And they meet as the church in that city, the church in this city, and they're coming together to enjoy this flow of the divine stream.
Hallelujah.
My eyes got open. But I made the choice with just, Lord, your word says. I have to follow your word.
Amen.
It's not up to me. I don't have a choice in this matter. You're very gracious. You're very broad. You bless your word. We follow your word. But you have something that you call your heart's desire.
Amen.
You have something called your eternal purpose and goal. You want a building.
Amen.
Okay, and then the last thing on my testimony, we'll finish the last of the outline. Well, one of those wonderful weekends, the young people who were students in Dublin, the church in Dublin, we went on a retreat and we sang a song. Hymn 1248. If you have your Bibles or your electronic hymnals, sorry, not Bibles, hymnals. I don't know if I'm going to read it all, but I'll start reading. Recall how David swore, hymn 1248. I'll not come up to my house, nor give slumber to mine eyelids, until I find a place for thee. Until I find a place for thee. A place, O Lord, for thee. Amen. If you have it, read it with me. Our mighty God desires a home where all His own may come. The Amazon, in some places, is 120 miles wide. That's a big river. It just amazes me that this triune God who flows like the mighty Amazon River, this mighty flow, yet our mighty God desires a home. Our God, we may say, is homeless. He's the flow. He's the Savior. He's the Creator. He created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens, the earth, and the spirit within man. This majestic creator has created everything that we see, the beauty around us. Yet, he still is lacking something. A dwelling place where he will find his rest. How blinded we have been, shut in with what concerns us. Our school, our schedules, our classes, and so many other things. Our families, our video games, our card games, this and that, so many things. Shut in with what concerns us, while God's house lieth waste. Where's the house? Where's the building today? Is there a building on your campus? Is there a building among the students on your campus? Is that building on your campus linked with the building of God in the city that you live? Lord, break through, overturn us. We'll go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. Let's read it together if you have it. We'll never say another day. Its time will come and build. O Lord, against these days, against the tide of the age, inspire some for your building. Just as in David's day, a remnant who are willing to come and work in your house. Oh, what a blessed charge. Listen again together. Your heart's desire is our desire. We come, O Lord, to build. I wish we could touch God's heart's desire for His building. And if we can ask, Lord, I don't have this feeling. But Lord, let me touch the feeling in your heart, your desire in your heart, your longing in your heart for your building, which is His bride, right? The bride, the built up bride, the wedding day, the Lord is waiting for the bride to be prepared. Well, do you know what the prepared bride is? It's the built up church. It's the building. Within those whom you'd call, put such a restless caring together for building to give all. These times are for preparing. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the builded church. The hours are few.
The builders too. Lord, build, O build in us.
The hours are few. How do we measure our time? Do we redeem our time? The hours are few. The builders too. You know, sometimes we can be impressed. Oh, this mega church, this must be the right way. There's 3,000 people here. Well, it says here a remnant. Out of all the nations, God called one man, Abraham. Out of that nation, He made it the children of Israel. Out of all the people, in the New Testament age, just a few, 120. in the upper room. Meanwhile, outside in Jerusalem, the priests are offering the sacrifices. The temple is still there. The sacrifice is being offered. The Jews, the prevailing religion of the day, is there. But somewhere in that city of Jerusalem are 120 people in the divine flow.
Amen.
And out of them flows the real building of God.
Amen.
So, we have to pay our full attention to the house of God and stay in the house. If we are willing to be built up as the house of the Lord, we will have the Lord within us as the source of the living water. Our full attention to this house. I'm going back now, and we'll finish shortly, but back to Ezekiel chapter 43 and the Lord's word there to Ezekiel about measuring, right? Show them the design, the arrangements, its exits, its entrances. The church where you are. The church that simply meets as a church in that city. The meetings of the church. The Lord's table meeting. Where the triune God is being ministered to by the believers. Where He's flowing. The prayer meeting of the church where the Lord carries out real spiritual warfare. I had a little question. Next Tuesday is a certain day, very important day, election day. Will you follow the election state by state, ballot by ballot? Will you tune in to NBC, ABC, CBS? Stream it on the internet. Will you be there, captivated? Who's going to get in? Or would you consider going to the church where you live and praying for the divine stream to decide the result of the election?
Amen.
That's the difference.
Hallelujah.
That's the difference. This is important. We should vote. We have the right to vote. Yes, we should vote. But what will count, what really matters, is that the divine stream is flowing whoever it wants to flow into the White House. We saw last night, you can't judge. You can't judge. You try to pick between those two candidates? That's a hard choice. But the divine stream knows which of those two candidates will advance the God's move on this earth and bring it to a soon conclusion. So for me, Tuesday night, I will be in the prayer meeting of the church. In the flow. Lord, you put in the White House who you want to put.
Amen.
Our full attention. So you have the prayer meeting. You have the table meeting of the church. You have the home meetings of the church. Okay? You have all these meetings. Measure the house. This is what the burden was to Ezekiel. Show them the house. That they would be measured by the house. So I have a question. Will you allow yourself to be measured concerning the meetings of the church? Will you open to the divine flow? It's 9 o'clock Sunday morning and you're tired because you were up late last night with your friends playing the Wii, playing the PS3, playing this, playing that on the internet. What? I'm tired. But there's a meeting at 10 o'clock or there's a meeting at 5:30. Or there's a meeting on Tuesday. Will you allow the triune God to measure you? Because you know what's on His heart? That place, that building, that flow is what is on His heart. Amen. Let's read a little bit more to conclude. See. And whenever a group of people are built up in oneness, the river will flow out of their building. Amen. Well, I just wanted to use as an example here my home meeting. Wherever a group of believers are built up in oneness, the river will flow out of their building up. Our home meeting gathers at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, a core to pray for every member of our home meeting. To identify ones that are on the periphery or not yet in the flow, and we're praying for them, and we're calling them, and we're inviting them. And then out of that meeting flows out rivers of living water. That water we see from Ezekiel 47 waters the dry land, produces life, swallows up death. Right? You come into this flow, you've got this situation, you've got this family problem, you've got this matter, but you come into this flow, you come into this building up, the water flows and your problems get taken care of. Your family problems get taken care of. Your financial problems get taken care of. The problems of the struggle of the sin that just besets you gets taken care of. Because you're in a built up place where there's the flow. And this water is constant. This water is deep. This water is wide. This water supplies.
Amen.
And of course, this home meeting is related to a built up church. It's not the home meeting itself. It's its relatedness. Because all the ones in that home meeting are in the flow of the church in that particular location. So that's why there's a flow in that home meeting. Because the flow flows out from the house. And it flows to the homes of the saints who are associated with that house. And there's just a flow. And I think many, certainly the ones in our home meeting can testify, there's a flow. Because all the ones in that home meeting are related to the house. Amen. Okay, D. The river flowing out through the preaching of the gospel depends upon the building. When Christians are built up as one, there will be the impact of the gospel and the world will be convinced. The river flowing out through the preaching of the gospel depends on the building. So again, I would just trumpet how vitally necessary it is for us as students on our campus to preach the gospel, to flow the triune God on our campus. But that flow, that impact, that reaching, will have impact if you are connected to the building. Not merely connected to the club. In many of your campuses, there's a club connected to the building. And because there's a connection, there is a flow and there is impact and people's lives get changed because they are brought into the flow of the flowing triune God.
Amen.
So let's read four together. Our working with the Lord in the one divine stream is for God's ultimate goal to build the new Jerusalem as the consummation of the divine building. Let's read the focus.
The divine stream is the unique stream of God's work that issues in the producing and building up of the church as God's house. To be in God's unique work, we must keep ourselves in the one divine stream and must be built up as one in God's building.
Amen. To be in God's unique work, God's unique work, we must keep ourselves in the one divine stream. And must be built up as one in God's building. So I really believe the Lord has spoken to us this weekend. We've seen this picture, the vision, the revelation of the divine stream in the entire Bible. We were helped very much with many helpful, practical ways to enjoy, to drink the divine stream. We saw that as we drink, and as we drink, there needs to be a flowing out. And that flowing out also causes us to be measured so that the flow can be deepened and deepened and deepened and we can be possessed. So again, you know, it's possible. You can say, I'm in the flow. I'm in the flow. But the flow is only up to your ankles. No one would dispute with you. Yes, you're in the flow. But how much of your being is really in the flow? The Lord wants to measure us so that flow can deepen to eventually where I don't have a choice. I have to just follow the flow. Amen. Wherever the flow goes, I just want to be in that flow.
Amen.
And then this morning we see that the destination, the purpose of the flow is God's eternal purpose and heart's desire, His building.
Amen.
The place where He finds rest.
Amen.
I do not know of any higher or greater purpose than to be involved in the building of God.
Amen.
There's nothing higher. I worked as a medical doctor for 5 years. I've worked in Africa. I've worked in refugee camps. Very noble, very high. I could have given my life to going to war zones and famine zones all around the planet. I could have chosen that. But I realized, you know what? There's something higher and greater and more noble than that. There's something more noble than any cause that you care to mention on this earth. Because, you know, the ultimate solution to all the causes that you can give yourself to is the Lord coming back. So my prayer for us all, for you all, is that we would give ourselves to the divine stream.
Amen.
And not just the theory of it, not just the vision of it, but the practical, present, real flow of the divine stream on our campuses and in the churches, in the cities and localities that we live in.
Amen.
Because this will ultimately issue in the building up of the body, the preparation of the bride, and the return of the Lord Jesus and the New Jerusalem.